Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
First, something dumb. So I don't have a pen with me today, which is very rare. And Bulldog sees me looking around. The studio has been cleaned up. Somebody took ownership of this room and cleaned up the room, so there's not as much lying around as there used to be. And you noticed me looking. That probably means I'm looking for a pen. You're like, what do you need? I said, a pen. And you said, I've got one right here. As I said to you, it's got to be a good pen, or I want to go alone without a pen.
Well, I got to tell you, if the pen I handed you meets the criteria of a good pen, then you pretty much can work with anything, because I don't know, that pen's not special. Really.
Well, it just has to work. Oh, I don't have to do anything.
Sure. All right.
Well, I don't have to work to get it to work.
Okay.
So this is fine. I've used this pen. I'm fine with it.
All right.
Then I start looking in my bag to see if I have my own or a better one.
Yeah.
And I find a couple of things. I carry this bag in and out of the workplace every day. I don't know how long I've been doing that for, but it's years. And I looked in it today. I'm looking for a pen. I've got like five or six different compartments in this bag. This is a bag that we got at the Super Bowl the year it was in Houston when it was the Patriots and Panthers.
Mm-hmm. I have that bag. I went through that bag yesterday as well. I'll tell you why after you're
okay.
Done.
All right. That's funny. So I looked and I did not find a pen, but I did find a couple things. I found a pocket schedule from the 13-14 Sabres.
Yep.
That I gave to you. Yep. This is the year that they finished last by 15 points. No Arizona stress. This is the year where they end up drafting Sam Reinhart after it.
Right.
So I've got the schedule. How's that look? Who did they play? Who did they open with?
They opened with
Montreal.
No, it looks like at Detroit. Unless those are preseason games on here too.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, would the season begun on October 2nd?
No. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe.
First game on here
Olympic
is October 2nd at Detroit.
What's the first home game?
Ottawa, Friday night the 4th.
Okay. So I found that I got a pocket schedule I've been carrying for at least 5 years, this pocket schedule of the 13-14 Sabres. When would I have put that in my bag? And in one section, I found two things that I have for the same reason, neither of which I ever use.
All right.
I have a notebook that I bought, and like a spiral notebook you would use in college. Do they still do that, or is everything on computer?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I have a spiral notebook.
I'll let you know when my kids get to college.
Like the ones I would have used when I was in college, and a smaller notebook that my wife bought me in an airport, I think maybe in Seattle or something. She's like, oh, this is a nice little notebook.
That looks more like something you would use as a diary.
Yeah, right.
Actually.
So both are, like, the idea I had with this notebook is the same as the one that I had with the big one when I bought the big one myself, which was, I will make fantasy notes in these notebooks, and I never do that.
Yeah.
I just carry them to work and back every day.
Yep.
I never take this bag in my house. It lives in my car.
Well, maybe one of these days you ought to just go through it and see how much extra stuff you're carrying around.
I just did that.
And that's it? I mean, it seems to me like you only went through like one pocket.
That's pretty much it. No, I mean,
yeah.
I've got some headphones in there, extra headphones, and you know, just other, what, like some cold medicine.
Right.
A pair of glasses.
Well, my version of that bag, I mean, it's the exact same bag that I got at that same Super Bowl with you, was used when we got I had an office for a long time here. Like from the time we moved into this building in the winter of 2000, I guess it was, I had access to an office. And I, you know, it was no big loss when we lost it. But when we got remodeled, we all, anybody who had an office that didn't really use it, lost it. So I lost my office. So I had a desk in there, and like anyone who has a desk in a workplace that they are at for a long time, there's just stuff you've collected. There's books, either that I bought or was sent.
Mm-hmm. Lots of books.
Pictures and what, you know, just whatnot. Just stuff on a desk. So I used that bag to collect most of what I wanted. I think I had to carry some other stuff additionally, but most of what I wanted off of that desk fit in that mm-hmm. bag. So I put everything in there and brought it home, and there was some other stuff that I saved that's also in a plastic shopping bag, and it's in the attic leaning against the giant shelf of records. Like as you walk into the main room of the attic, it's just sitting there. You can see the logo from the Super Bowl. It's just sitting there, and it has gone untouched since, when did we get remodeled here? 3 years ago? 4 years ago? However long ago that was. It's just been sitting there. Last night, I recently got some stereo equipment that I inherited refurbished. So I'm trying to sort of put together a new stereo system in the attic. And like anyone who's collected audiovisual equipment over the years, I've had at times probably 50 sets of RCA patch cords. You know, the kind of stuff you
the red one and the yellow one?
Red one and the yellow, red and white, but whatever. Different colors, but the same function, basically. It's just to connect one thing to the other thing. And so video games had these.
Yeah.
Like you just, right, and
turntables.
Right.
Cassette players.
CD players.
VCRs.
Yes, right. So, and everything you ever bought came with their own set.
Yes.
Plus, you had somehow
TVs.
Accumulated extras, whatever. I had more than you'd ever need in your life, and I think most people this is true of, right? So I've got this new equipment, refurbished vintage equipment, really, is what it is. I'm pretty excited about it. I cannot, for the life of me, find the box that has all of those cords. And now I need two or three sets of patch cords. And I can't find them. And I didn't think to go get some because I just thought, well, they're
all over your house.
Yeah, right. Or they're concentrated in one area, and I don't see it regularly. But when I need it, I'll find it. Is what I think. No, I mean I just can't find them anywhere, and so eventually I get to maybe they're in that bag.
They weren't.
No, they were not in that bag.
Did you find anything fun though?
How they would. I didn't really. I could tell right away the cords weren't in there, so I just stopped. I was trying to find cords. I eventually found in different rooms of the house enough sets to try to get the work done, and I still couldn't connect it right. So I got to revisit.
That is
it.
A terrible feeling.
But I could not just in random drawers. I found there's one set, and there's another set, and like okay, I'm off the ground. But it was maddening to me that for 35 years of my life, I've been moving around accumulating 50 sets of these cords, and I could not find the large concentration of them anywhere.
And you won't throw them out because you don't think you should throw them out.
You never know if you're going to need them.
And you can't find them.
And I can't find
that
them.
That is terrible.
Now I need them, and I cannot find them.
That
and
is
it was
terrible.
So maddening. But I found enough to get by anyway. But it was in the course of that, I looked through that bag for the first time since it left this room.
Well, St. Louis Blues will be looking for some power, hoping to find the net tonight in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Patch together enough goals.
Patch together a victory. There is a chance of a seventh game overtime in the finals, which has not happened in 65 years. Think about that for a couple reasons. One, is that surprising that there has not been a seventh game overtime in the finals for 65 years.
Yeah, I think it is.
A little bit.
Most games are close.
You can remember a half dozen or more game sevens of the finals. Hockey fans will be able to do that. And most of them have been close. One that wasn't was the last one, Boston-Vancouver, 4-0. But Carolina-Edmonton was a close game. Pittsburgh-Detroit was a close game. Rangers-Vancouver was a close game. They're out there. Yet, none of those games went to overtime. 1954, Detroit over Montreal. That's the last time the finals were decided in a seventh game overtime. No one saw that. A few people. Was it televised? Right. Somebody might have seen that.
Right.
Most people have never seen that goal. So I like this because I think it is a little bit surprising that it would have taken that long. There was a game seven in the early 70s, but never a seventh game overtime since 54. And I liked this thought today. It really isn't that much anymore that I think I've really never seen. Like, I thought, you know, it's tough with the list because certain teams winning a championship, St. Louis winning a Stanley Cup has never happened.
Right.
So I've never seen St. Louis win a Stanley Cup, but so what? I mean, a franchise.
Yeah, they don't stand out more than any other team that hasn't won it out of that crowd, really, to me.
No, and as I get older, I care less about that than I used to. Like, I know Buffalo is one of these places, and here it would be very special for me, for everybody here, but it's like more to me about, well, it's just a collection of people from different places. They're not from St. Louis, like, whatever. So there's that, but that's not really what I mean. The Cubs winning the World Series would qualify, and the Red Sox winning the World Series would qualify, because these were stories unto themselves that those teams had not won in so long. They had their own sort of cottage industry, just like writing about, reflecting on the curse and these different things.
Oh my gosh, the books. Yeah.
So when when they won, there was significance, you know, but most teams winning are not significant like that. But, you know, you live long enough, and now in the day and age we're in where there's just a deluge of video and everything's accessible, there's really little mystery about any of this stuff. You can see almost anything that's happening. I mean, most things have happened. Most big sports things have happened. We've had Roy Halladay came along and threw a no-hitter in the postseason. You know, like different things, dynasties, and just amazing feats have happened. And this is one thing that, while it's happened in history, none of us has seen it. A seventh game overtime. Really, how unlikely should it be considered to be? This game going to overtime. Now, none of these games in this series has gone to overtime, right?
That's right. It's been, yeah.
So this series is due. It's a competitive series.
Sure.
The format is due. It doesn't make it any more likely to happen that these things are there, but
yeah.
I'm just sort of wired for this.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Like, I'm often at this point in my life, just get things over with, get it started, get it over with. But this is an exception for me every year. And you know, if it happens that there are more than one, and there was an opportunity on Sunday for St. Louis to win the cup. The cup was in the building. They didn't do it. I am always, that is a night where I'm not going to bed. I am going to stay. You know this about me. I want to see it. I want to see T.J. Oshie talk about his dad with Alzheimer's. Like, I want to see all of that. Last year. I mean, I love. It's just the most recent example of why I want to be watching and not just stop when the horn blows. I want to see the whole thing, watch Bettman get booed, and then, you know, who gets the cup second and all that stuff. And it's just, I love it. I find it moving. As a sports fan, as a hockey fan, I dig it. So, but with that said, I'm in no hurry. You know, it's the last hockey game for months here. And as eager as I am to dive into what the Sabres are going to do to their roster, you want to pile on some extra time into this game, which would be, of course, accompanied with a very heightened sense of drama. I'm all good. You're not going to catch me going, oh, all right, already. It's midnight. On game seven of the Stanley Cup final, yeah, I'm in.
And wouldn't you like to have it go to overtime just for the reason that it never has happened in our lifetimes? I mean, really, how much of that is there in sports that we've never seen in our lifetimes? I mean, that's out there, and that's not that – it's not ridiculous. It's not
– right. It shouldn't be a long shot, even though it hasn't happened since 1954. I find it really surprising when I saw that today that it had been that long.
Yeah, like, it's not a basketball player scoring 100 points or something. But it's a thing where you can conceive of it, easily conceive of it. And I would just think like that would be sort of a, I don't know, it's the wrong word, but like a milestone almost. Like, all right, we were here for a game where the next goal wins the cup, no matter which team scores. Like, that has not happened in 65 years. So bring it on. I'll be around for that. You're more into the series than I am, and the playoffs than I am, and even the ceremony than I am. But if I find out, I might watch it anyway. If I find out this game's going to overtime, I'm definitely going there because of this reason. This will be something I've never seen. So hopefully it does.
Yeah, sure.
Now, we have this guy named Scott Barry. Have you heard of him recently? A St. Louis Blues fan named Scott Barry.
No, I don't. I know like the anthem singer is like saying for the last time on Sunday, and I know about the little girl who's sick, who's traveling to Boston for this game, and she's been a source of inspiration for the Blues and their fan base, but I don't know about Scott Barry.
Okay, that works. Like, you know about the girl. I know about the better.
Okay.
This is the name of the guy, Scott Barry, who has a $400 bet that he made in January, which is better than had he made it before the season. Yeah. He made a bet in January when the Blues were at the bottom or near the bottom of the standings at 250-1 for them to win the Stanley Cup. And the reason more and more people are talking about him is that he has repeatedly refused to take a deal on his bet.
Mm-hmm.
His bet is worth, what, $100,000. If the Blues win the night, he has $400 in at 250-1 that would pay him $100,000 if the Blues win the cup. And there's a site called PropSwap. You know, you're familiar with PropSwap.
Yeah, Owen turned me onto it.
So PropSwap is a place where people can bid on other people's prop bets. You can make yours known. And then I can go to PropSwap, there might be other sites like it, and make a bid. And before Game 6, the highest bid this guy got was $75,000. Somebody offered him $75,000 for the ticket.
Wow. And he's
looking. And he said no. He refused.
That's
the money.
$25,000 less than what he wins if the Blues win.
Right. In fact, if you look at it this way, he could have taken the $75,000 and bet some of it on the Blues tonight. Like, had they lost Game 6, they're an underdog tonight. One guy I saw make point.
Right.
If he takes the $75,000, then they win the cup. He won $75,000 at the end of it. If they lose Game 6, he can go to tonight, bet the guy's idea was $25,000. And St. Louis is like plus 162. Like, they're a nice underdog. Win 40. Win more. He could have ended up ahead of the 100,000 with 75,000 in his pocket. The guy said no. He has said no at every turn. People know that he has this ticket, and somehow that started. I don't know that part of the story, but I just know that he has gotten all these offers. Tonight, the offer is at PropSwap, the highest bid for this ticket, is $36,500. So he can give up right now and take $36,500. Again, it's a $400 bet, and that's still a tremendous win.
Sure.
But the guy has said, and you know, like, this is something I certainly appreciate. It's less how I am than I used to be.
I appreciate it. I would aspire to be this steadfast.
The guy has said, I feel like I'm on the team.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want any bad juju. That was the word he used. I don't want any bad juju by me. Like, I feel like I'm a part of the team. And if I win, I win. If they lose, I lose. Like, that's how I want it.
Okay. Man, the 75. I mean, even the 36. Obviously less tempting by, you know, a little more than half. 75 on Sunday would have been really hard to turn down. I mean, that is just, you've done great. Even without, like, finding a way to try to make back what you gave up in the event that you could now use it to $75,000 on $400. Oh, my God.
He said, I feel like I've already won. by having them be in the finals. He's gone to every home game. He goes to every home game. That's a lot of money. You might need $75,000 to pay for your playoff tickets, depending on where you sit. And I've got more on that later on, talking about, like, somebody got, I think, $18,000 for a pair of seats on the glass tonight.
Yeah.
More than that. But this guy, like, you have to be, I'm guessing, and I don't know this part either, I'm guessing you're pretty wealthy if you're betting $400 on a last place team to win the cup. They've never won it. There was no one talking about this.
Right.
And the guy had $400 to put down. Now, maybe he's in Vegas, and maybe he was, like, way up.
Loves the Blues and just whatever.
Like, he could have been way up.
Right. So you don't have to be wealthy. But if you're going to all these games, you probably have pretty good means.
That, too. That point, too.
So, you know.
I mean, I've never made a $400 futures bet on, like, on a – I've made more than that on, like, the win totals.
Right.
I've made bigger bets than that on win totals. But never on, like, a cup bet or a Super Bowl bet or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's serious.
Yep.
To me.
And maybe turning down the $75,000 is a window into, like, how much money you've got at your disposal. Because, you know, I think the majority of people, I'm good, fine, I love the Blues, whatever, give me $75,000, I'm set. I can't ask for better than that on this bet. That's fine. I'll watch the games.
I'd like to have a camera on this guy tonight. Somehow.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that's who Scott Barry is.
Glad you had that. Yeah, I didn't know about him. That's something.
The Blues are plus 162 and over is plus 133, over 5.5. Like, which one bet would you make on this game? Blues, Bruins, over, under. Bruins, what does that mean? Bruins are like minus 180 or some number like that? I could never do that.
Yeah. I think the Bruins are going to win. Just, you know, home team, game seven, whatever. I would not want to bet them at that number at all. I'd be more inclined to take the Blues and just figure, like, who knows what's going to happen. Like,
if I
had $50 to throw on this, I'm throwing it on the underdog and just seeing. And
there you go.
Whatever. That's what I would do.
Absolutely right. The last two seventh games of the finals, the road team won. Right. At least the last two. Probably the last. Carolina was at home.
I think it is the last two. And yeah, right. It's
Pittsburgh at Detroit.
Pittsburgh at Detroit and Boston in Vancouver.
Right. Those are the last two, right?
Two. Yeah. Yeah. That Detroit. That got real close to overtime. That was a one-goal
game.
Yes,
it did.
And there was a great – I mean, Fleury made just this lunging, crazy save there on Lidstrom, I think it was, to preserve that in the absolute waning seconds of that game.
That was super exciting.
Yeah.
That game was super exciting. Yeah. Pittsburgh winning after losing the year before on the road. Like, they would have been a nice underdog that night. 803-0550, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. We have a very guesty – show today. Not that you've noticed yet, because we haven't mentioned this yet, and we have had no guests yet. How do you like that explanation? Dan Rosen, NHL.com, Sal Capaccio, Danny Gare, Brian Koziol, the U.S. Open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines open this hour. This is WG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
TR.
The trade was made, I thought it was a really good trade for the Blues because I was familiar with the personnel they were moving back. And I like Ryan O'Reilly as a player. Now, that said, what went on in Buffalo, it was difficult for them to move forward with Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, his honesty, I guess, got him into some trouble. But the situation there, as you guys well know, hasn't been good. A player that's watching, you know, his career start to move forward and starting to wonder if he's going to be in a successful situation. He had a very lucrative and long-term contract, so all that's good. But at the end of the day, he's a really competitive guy, and he wants to win, and it just hasn't been a good situation there for a while.
E.J. Raddick visited Howard and Jeremy this morning. That's him. He's been on our show fairly often until the schedules didn't line up. He started working this shift. Like Filippone.
Right.
I would always call him, and now he's on when we're on.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Raddick is on NHL Network while we're
afternoons
from sitting at 716 watching it. Yeah, right.
Yep. Game 7 of the finals tonight. It'll be on WGR after Sneaky Joe and the Nightcap tonight. I'm hoping for overtime. We've been talking about it, among other things, because I've never seen, probably you haven't either, a seventh game of the finals go to overtime. And why should it never happen? Why should it have been 65 years since a seventh game of the finals? The finals are no different than any other series for this, right? Two competitive teams. You know, you have close games. This series, as it happens, has not had any overtime games. So let's make tonight that night. You mentioned Pittsburgh-Detroit 2009, and we were talking at going to break. That was a really great game, I thought. Like, I was totally with the Penguins that night.
That's Max Talbot, right? Is he the hero there? Like, there's two goals there for him in that game? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they win 2-1.
Yeah.
But the Red Wings had beaten the Penguins the year before, and the Red Wings were just, like, always there
right.
from the mid-90s until then.
Yeah, pretty much. That's right. Yeah.
And so Pittsburgh represented sort of a new era
right.
in that.
Yeah. I don't remember rooting for them, though. I probably was still mad about Crosby going there or something. Like, I don't know.
A little bitterness,
yeah,
maybe?
Could have been. I don't know. I don't. Even still mad about 0-1, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really rooted for Pittsburgh in anything.
Pittsburgh and Boston. Remember Pittsburgh and Boston in the like 90s? The Mario Lemieux against Bork and Neely, early 90s?
Sure. Kevin Hatcher, Kevin Stevens. Like there's, yeah.
And Pittsburgh was new? Like 91,
right,
I guess, would
sure.
be the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pittsburgh was new. I have a friend who I just heard from today, actually. It'd been a long time since I heard from him. He is still this super, super hardcore Pittsburgh sports fan. And just like the idea then, this is also very different now, at least the way I think. Like the idea then that Pittsburgh would beat Boston in that series was like just outlandish to me. Because Pittsburgh had never been good.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston was always good. So Pittsburgh's not going to actually beat Boston. Wales Conference Finals, maybe.
Right.
They're not actually going to win. And I remember talking to him about this, like, you're not actually going to win. I mean, you don't win this. This is for Boston. I'm Buffalo, and I know how this goes. We lose every time.
Right.
So get used to it. Like, I know you have Mario Lemieux. I know you're enjoying. I mean, I was just really, like, smacking him around. I know you're enjoying not being terrible and being in the playoffs and everything. Forget it.
It ends now. Right.
I mean, right. This is like a real team that you're playing now that always wins. I have cousins who live there. They tell me this, that it's always Boston. And so, Pittsburgh smoked them.
Yep.
I went to Boston Garden one time, and it was during that series, but it was not for a game.
Oh, boy.
Because we were in Boston. He knew somebody who worked there and showed us around Boston Garden, but there was nothing happening there. All right. But it was right at that time.
All right. I don't think I rooted for Pittsburgh. I might have been. I mean, I don't remember this. I don't feel like I'm this way anymore. Anyone else in the conference, I don't root for. But I remember liking the North Stars when they, you know, when those Penguins beat them. And then when they beat Chicago, I was rooting for was it the West then, or was it still the
Chicago Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, Campbell. No,
Campbell. That's what I was struggling. I couldn't remember the name of the conference. The Campbell conference. I was rooting for, I was on the Campbell side both times.
92 is the Blackhawks. 91 is
Minnesota.
The North Stars.
Yeah. I never pulled for the Penguins. I think I've hated them my whole life. On some level, they're not the Flyers or the Bruins or but they just have never been my team. And I don't know what that is. Like, I can't remember why in 1991 or 92 I would have sided with Minnesota and or Chicago, but I did.
Mm-hmm. I think I was with you on Minnesota, but not Chicago.
I think I liked, I liked Roenick. Like he's there, right? Is he there for
probably?
That? Yeah, he's there for that.
92.
Yeah, he's talked about how he felt about. Yeah, sure, if you
Dominic Hasek is in goal for the end of that series,
right?
For the Blackhawks, right? I think going in for Belfour there. How about the Let's see. The Devils have one. The Devils over Anaheim was an uneventful seventh game. Anaheim had won game six, maybe one to nothing.
I don't know that series. Wow, was that ever terrible?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was out for game seven. I remember where I was to watch that, but just was bored by it.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares about either one of them? I was thinking like,
right.
I felt I would go and watch sports then out of obligation. I felt like I was without. I didn't like think about it, but just felt like this is what you do.
Right.
It's game seven of the finals, and this is what you do is you watch that game.
Yeah.
And Jersey Anaheim might have been when I start to consider why do I have to do this?
Is this a good idea?
Right. Right. Like this is up to me.
That was really bad. That was some really boring hockey. I think it's so bad that I think it, as the years have gone by, I know when you're tied up in it and it's your team, you don't feel that way because the drama is what consumes you. But I think realizing that the Stanley Cup final could indeed be that boring makes me look at 99 and realize like that was no work of art for a series either.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
It had incredible. The drama of game six is obvious, but there was just nothing. There's just not a lot happening. There's a lot of guys blocking shots with giant shin pads, Craig Ludwig, and like just not.
Dump it in.
Yeah, just bad. The sport was in a real bad spot then.
You know, I have a friend who was telling me about how this pair of tickets, I guess I had missed this, but he said how he heard a pair of tickets for tonight's game, front row, went for more than $18,000. And you had heard that. And he told me that he had an offer the day of game six in 99. This is a guy I met through Sabres tickets. A friend of mine, I've known him for like 20 years now, but the first encounter I ever had with him was in his suite. He had a suite at the arena. And he told me today that the day of game six, this is the day you got married, he got an offer for $10,000 for two tickets in his suite, and he said no.
Wow. And they couldn't even, all they could do was not lose the Stanley
Cup. Yeah, all they could do was tie the series.
Right, right. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. So he turned down 20 years ago.
Right.
He turned down 10 grand to go to that game.
That's in today's money. That's about what this Bruin thing went for tonight, right? Almost double.
I am totally taking that money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The only thing,
if you could win it, it's another thing. Maybe. But even then, I think I would say, you know.
Yeah, I'm right.
But depending. I mean, I told you we're talking about the Warrior thing. Was that $100,000 or whatever that was for the game out in Oakland the other night? I'm trying to remember. There was a really expensive set of tickets that went courtside, what was over $100,000. And I said, like, I'm the sort of person, like, I'm not selling those to make a profit. If I bought them at face value, I'm just keeping them. But I'm definitely not buying them on the second. Like, I don't have that kind of money. But man, it's hard to turn down $10,000 for hockey tickets.
I have a plan for if the day ever comes. 06 was so close. And 06 was my first year as a season ticket holder, like many other people that got in right then when they cut the prices and, you know, fans just were all over the Sabres that year. I mean, they were so close to home ice in the finals.
Right.
You know, like it's agonizing to think about. And the prices, we didn't have the finals, but they never really got out of control. They never got into the thousands for me. Like I never had any consideration come to me or anything that would have been for that kind of money, like for the Carolina series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the finals would have been different. But the plan I have now, like we have good seats like that still. My group has a pair of tickets on the glass. And if this day comes for me, I am selling and buying somewhere else in the building.
Yeah.
I won't need to be in the best seats for that game.
Just want to be in there.
But I will want to be in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll do what this guy with the betting slip didn't do.
Right.
Like I'll just take some money out of it and still go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what playoff tickets cost now. It's been a while. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah,
trying
no
to be
one knows
cute,
that.
Right? I mean, what do they call? But
no one knows that.
I'll always, those Carolina seats that I got from you, which were not the best seats you had, but they were the good seats, lower bowl seats, not tucked in a corner or anything. It was $200 a piece.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. As I remember sitting there, it was $400. Me and my wife, and we just sat there, and it was just the worst game. And just, oh, God, really? Yep. $400. Oh, yep. My God. You know? But, you know, now I guess I'd look at that and think, like, that's not bad. Conference final, good seat at a hockey game, like, how much do those go for now? They must go for a lot more. Face value,
I have no idea. I run this ticket group. We have so many people in it. We collect thousands of dollars every year to give to the Sabres. This has been for going on 15 years, and it has been 8 since they've been in, going on 9. Next year would be 9. And that many more years between making it and losing in the first round and what 06 right. and 07 were, I have not thought at all about what those tickets would cost. Right. People used to say about the Sabres and playoff tickets that they were not expensive enough. You ever hear that from someone like connected, either, you know, a media guy or somebody's connected? Yeah. You ever heard that?
No, I never did.
That Sabre tickets were priced too low in the playoffs. This might be the Regis years,
yeah,
or
I don't know.
I don't know if it's 06 or 07.
I definitely didn't feel that way sitting there in that game 4 of that Carolina series, I'll tell you that.
No, I bet not.
But now, all these years later, I think, like, that's you know, whatever. That's not an outrageous amount of money for a good seat to a game of that magnitude, I guess.
It is and it isn't. I mean, right. For what sports costs, it isn't.
Right.
It isn't. But at the same time,
it still is. Yeah, it's a good amount of money.
You know? Well, I mean, no explanation or description necessary for fans of these teams, you know, especially the Blues fan that's middle-aged and has never seen them win.
Uh-huh.
It's just got to be, like, incredible today. And you're either getting a parade and release and relief, right, and exultation, and they can't ever take this away from me, or you're right back to where you were.
Right, which is, we've never done this, and we hadn't been even in this spot since 1970, right? Like, it's just, wow. It's a long time,
that
man.
That is a lot on the line.
That is a long time.
You know, imagine being, well, we will have this someday, hopefully. We want this.
Right.
The best case scenario is this.
Right.
Right? That we're, like, right there.
Game 7 at wherever, you know. Ideally at home, but still, yeah, game 7.
Oh, my gosh, the pressure. Oh. This town would just be
right.
Impossible.
Yes.
It would be nervous.
I don't even
arguing
know.
About everything, just
yes.
like we were
yes.
before. I mean, it would just be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I still remember that about us, like, doing this show, both of us on edge, just sort of, it's just get through it. This guy, get through it. It's just very right. edgy. Everything was just, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, right. That's right.
There's a lot of that. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'll take it. Yeah, right. Like, bring it on.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Sal Capaccio with the Bills report coming up both next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
All right, bidding is continuing for the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group, Monday, July 8th. Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. Auctioning off the opportunity for you to be able to play with any of the number of great celebrities that will be on hand, and also the on-air staff here, most of the on-air staff. I can't say all because I don't think Sneaky Joe's invited.
That's a problem.
I think Sneaky Joe does our show, maybe, while we're golfing. I think, is that maybe how that goes?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
Maybe.
But, you know, Howard.
He doesn't want to commit to
Howard,
it.
Jeremy, Mike, myself, Sal Capaccio, others, parts of the instigators, people will be on hand for this. You can check out the bidding at WGR550.com. It's a great day. Breakfast when you get there, access to the driving range and the putting greens to warm up, and then there's just food and drinks all day on the course, and then a nice dinner afterward and an auction with sports memorabilia and whatnot. All at the WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament. Again, that's July 8th. It's a Monday. It's presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. And with support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra.
I'm having an awful time with computers today. The website I use to check odds and everything, Bet Online, sends an email out once in a while. They sent one today about the Open. I wanted to check the odds for the Open on my phone, so I clicked on this and go to this. Click this link for the odds, and the odds are for the Masters next year. So that I don't want. Yeah, I have to go back over there to get this. And I just told you this. How much do I want to say? Not that much. Like, we have a work site where we can check our vacation days and everything.
Right.
And this is one of these deals where I logged in, but I thought properly, and the thing comes up that says, and this happens a lot, right? We need to send you a text code to verify your identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, fine.
I get that with online banking a lot. Right.
Fine.
It's like an extra gatekeeper. Yeah.
All right. Except all the phone numbers that are listed are not my phone number. One of them might have been a landline I used to have. One of them might have been a really old phone number that maybe in the work universe.
It's the last work number that they have on file for you, or the last number that work has on file for you.
But that's at least 10 years ago. Right. At least 10 years ago.
Amazing.
So I try to cancel it. It just takes me back to the same. I'm in a loop. Like, I cannot try to log in another way. Close the tab, reopen it, right back to that. We will send you a text code to verify your identity. And like, I don't know the move. I'm going to need another computer. Because I think I'm maybe logged in.
Okay.
Because it didn't tell me the password was wrong or anything. It just, maybe I haven't used it in a while.
Uh-huh.
Some of my money stuff is like this. Even though I'll use the same machine to get in, once in a while it'll say, hey, we need to send you a code.
Right.
So we know for sure it's you. I'm like, of course it's me, but I understand that. So,
yep.
But now I can't do it. I can't get out of it, and I can't get in.
What you should do is you should text the old phone number, whoever it may be, and say, hey, this code's going to be sent to you. I need you. You don't know me, but I need you to send me this number.
I don't even. Okay, that's funny. I'm not doing that. I don't even remember the number. And it's not, you know, it's XXXXXXX4.
Right.
Like, I just. Wow. I can't do that either. I can't. I have no.
Yeah,
the only move is to go down the hall, and they're not going to.
No.
That's going to take.
Yeah.
I can't get in.
Yeah,
and I can't. I'm in one of those escape rooms.
You're paralyzed.
I'm in an escape room, and there is no solution.
Right. Wow.
I'm sorry if I sound hostile about this, but I just got done reading a story earlier about how they've decided now that, like, this is the case at our work. Work or email sites requiring you to change your password. My bank does this. Requiring you to change your password every X amount of months or whatever is counterproductive. The latest study on this is that is counterproductive. Because there's less fraud than there is people getting confused, not remembering what they've changed their password to. Sometimes you're not allowed to use passwords you've used like for the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And people get confused by this and are frozen out. And there's like, they're on the phones trying to figure it out and all this stuff. And it's not worth it. Ultimately, for the companies, this is now a school of thought that it is not worth it to require employees to change their passwords every so often because of this reason.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I like reading this.
Right.
This sounds good to me.
Right.
This sounds like, because a lot of people walk around with these fears, which you can understand. It's like, you really don't need to be afraid of that. And so here is this where I can go, you know what? Good. This is smart. I don't need this. I accept and believe this. I think I should not have to change my password all the time. You're right. Now I can't get out of this escape room. This is like cruel. It's just insult to injury that I've just read this article and now I am here and I cannot get out.
Yeah, now I'm psyched out about going to the HR website now. Last time I went, I didn't get any of this, and I have no idea what might be awaiting me.
I'll give you an update. I'm going to go tell somebody. Like, I don't know what else to do.
All right.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com, on the finals and the Sabres. The last night of the hockey season tonight. The draft is next week. Maybe we'll get some draft stuff in there, too. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.